Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
How may I help you, my brother?
Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could.
Damn it, man. I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns. Came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
And good evening to each and every one of you. It is Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. 1 minute after the hour on this Thursday, May the 24th, 2012. I was about to say May the 14th. I'm going to go 10 days back. My apologies. I just want to say hello to each and every one of you out there. If you are indeed are listening to the show today, I hope that you did get a chance to come around to it. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. We have a guest on the show tonight. Let me promote that. Very important because it goes with the theme of yesterday. Well, I can't say the theme of yesterday's show, but my monologue yesterday. And it's funny because I believe that things happen for a reason. Yes, I know it's cliche. Things happen for a reason. Why they happen? Well, I'm not saying that there's any reasoning in the beginning. But it all seems to fall into place. Yes, I know that's really, you know, that's not really summing it up, Reese. But everything happens for a reason, and sometimes things fall into place. It's just the natural order of things. At least that's what I say.
A lot of people believe that everything happens for a reason. I believe everything happens
for
a
reason. Yeah, but some people consider it cliche. Some people say, you know, that's bogus, there's no real truth. But
yeah, thank the Lord for it.
Yeah, exactly. Mary, You believe that everything happens for a reason. Does that make you a person who is spiritual or someone who believes like more in sort of things like karma? Like, or does that put you somewhere in the middle?
I definitely believe in karma.
Okay.
And I think that if you believe in karma, you tend to think about, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this because karma is going to bring this back.
But do you believe that karma has any divine intervention? Like, do you believe that God or, you know...
I won't get into the religious things because, you know, I, of course, was raised Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. Do I believe in God, in a higher creator? Of course I do. I don't believe that we just kind of
appear here. Okay.
Know?
Well, no, there's a reason why...
But I believe that everything in your life has its purpose,
right?
Bad, good, or indifferent,
right?
Because it's taking you to the, it's getting you, even if it's bad, right?
Right.
It's getting you ready. You're getting prepared
for something else,
for something bigger. And if you can't get through that, you're not ready to move. You know what I'm saying? You're not
okay.
ready to move.
Yeah, no. If
that's divine intervention.
No,
yes,
it makes,
so be it.
It makes perfectly good sense to me. Hence my point and why I'm bringing this up. Okay, so let me give you a breakdown. So, as I told you yesterday, at the 9 o'clock monologue, I talked about next week I'm going to court because we're having a hearing to find out whether or not my accuser is going to be taking the stand. All you have to do is listen to yesterday's show at the 9 o'clock hour, and you will get the entire gist of that. Or was it at least halfway into the show? You can get the whole gist of that. So what I did on a whim after last night's show was I downloaded the audio, I spliced it for that particular break, and I posted it on MRC TV, which I often do. And I posted things, you know, most of the stuff that I posted was when we were going through our little back and forth with the new Black Panther Party and the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case. And this particular one was, you know what, Rush Limbaugh taught me something I learned the hard way. And I had to really think, because I fought him on this ideology. No one ever won anything by defending it. And I thought about that, and many people go, it's like, what does that mean? It's like, hasn't there ever been anybody who won anything by defending it? If you really think about it, it makes absolute sense. You win nothing by defending it. You have to go on the attack. So the media who wanted to cover my case through and through, when all they wanted to print was that I was this monster, when the facts started to come out and I was constantly sending my stuff like a rookie, and I was a real rookie. I was desperate for people to get to know what the story was, and I was sending them all this information, letting them know, look, I'm being railroaded. Look, this was a lie. Look, I told you this proof. They didn't even budge. And one news reporter went so far as to say it was a better story if he was guilty.
Of course it was.
And that was when I knew I had to walk away from trying to get people to pay attention to it. So I posted yesterday's audio on MRC TV, and I titled it very simply, probably because I knew it would garner some attention by the title in and of itself, because when you see the word rape, you go for it. I don't know if it's innate in people, but that word drives people. And I don't know whether or not it's Schadenfreude. I don't know what it is, but there's something of interest in. Whoa. And the title reads, simple and plain, Reese on the Radio Explains Why His Rape Case Is Not Being Covered by the Media. And I titled it that because everyone's going, why would a radio host rape case not be covered by the media? That's something most people would jump right on. Especially somebody who had any sort of profile at any time, you jump right on it. And then you listen to the audio and you hear what it is that I express in that audio. And that is what has happened so far. And the fact that no one at all has covered it.
Well, what they do is they cover all the mayhem and then things die down.
It's all about the speculation. This is what he's been accused of. This is what they say happened. This is what they say he did. And then they go to me for a comment and it's one line. I wasn't even in New York in October of 2004. That's it. End of quote. So you know it's buried at the bottom of the story. Now, in most cases, you would think, oh, that's the last thing you read. But to remember everything you read before, there's nothing to back up my claim that he wasn't even in New York in October. They don't even go so far as to say, we checked and found out he was indeed working in Connecticut since April of 2004. He did move out of the apartment that this is alleged to have happened in June of 2004. They don't even bring that up. They don't. They just leave, oh, well, this is what he had to say for himself. Which in essence leaves the reader going, yeah, right, of course he's going to deny it.
Yeah, but after they basically smear your name and your reputation all over the place, they don't even follow up. And if they do follow up, it's like, you know, on page A3, a little tiny article to the bottom right-hand corner of the page, and you never even, you know, you never even look at that. Most people
smaller.
Just read
the article is smaller than in fact, it's half the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
In buried deep in the paper.
If they even give you that much.
Right.
Because it doesn't create ratings.
Right. So I posted in the audio section of mrctv.org, which is one of my favorite sites to go to, that and Breitbart. So I posted it on there. Anyway, I go to work this morning, and I go to check on MRCTV if anyone's even viewed it. Yes, okay, I'm a little vain. I'll admit that.
Well, it's not that you're vain. You want to see what venues are working best for you to promote yourself.
Absolutely.
But obviously, you need to promote yourself in order to get back where you were, because this case basically robbed you of your entire life. This case robbed you of who you were.
Okay, fair.
Right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, like, you're Reese on it's Reese on the Radio, and you might be on Blog Talk Radio right now, but for those people that don't know your history,
mm-hmm.
You were known in the media. You were known in the radio, in the radio genre or whatever. So, you know, for those people that don't know, it's not like you just started this online radio and this is your, you know, this is your first gig and you started it yourself. You've been doing this for years.
Right. You were saying, JC?
I wouldn't even use the term to rob you of who you were. because you're still that same person, it robbed you of all that you've achieved.
Yeah.
On radio.
It wiped you. It almost wiped the slate clean.
Right. Wiped your history clean in radio.
Start, or it almost, it like cut your legs off, and you almost have, you have to grow those legs again.
Right. And I expressed that in the audio, which of course you can hear on MRC TV. But anyway, like I was saying, I put it on the audio section of MRC TV. I go to check out the site this morning on my phone, and you know, I just type in MRCTV.org, and there I was on their front page, the feature page. I haven't seen it all day. I saw it this afternoon, roughly about 1 o'clock. I've been working until 6. Didn't walk in until about 15 minutes before the beginning of the show. And I heard, and then I saw MRC TV put their flag in the beginning of the audio. They grabbed a picture of me in the interview I did with CNN. So, in essence, what I really, really want to say to the guys at MRC TV, that's Media Research Center, what I want to say to those guys, Brent Bozell and my favorite, some of my favorite journalists on that site, Dan Joseph, for one, is probably one of my most favorite on MRC TV, was that thank you for putting that up there, for finding it relevant enough to put on there as the top story. To me, I thought I was a no one to you, if you get my meaning. Like, I didn't think you guys knew who I was, were interested in who I was. You probably, you know, I thought that you looked at me as just somebody who was a fan of the show, who had posted audio up there, and you guys let me use your venue to do that. But to put that on the front page and allow so many people to see it, and it is overwhelming the people who have seen it, and overwhelming the people who have gone to my website, reesonradio.com, just to allow me to get the word out.
It's like a ray of hope.
It is. It, for me, it was just so overwhelming. It didn't just put a smile on my face. It just gave me the sense of hope that I was talking about last night that I didn't think sometimes I had. So, again, I just want to thank you guys at MRC TV. I'm going to take a break. I have to thank two more people.
Hey, when was the last time you looked at it?
I don't know. Just a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, okay. It's like a double since then.
Mm-hmm. It did. It did. It went gangbusters. So I'm really appreciative of everyone who has checked it out. Those who have commented, especially our good friend Gene Pinkham up in Boston, who I'm still trying to figure out how he found out about it. But, you know, he's a media savvy guy. I'm going to take a break real quick for a couple of minutes. The number is 347-308-8701. We do have a guest on the show tonight. And this is another thing that just played into it. This morning I got an email. There's a company that I work with to bring guests on the show. And this gentleman, his name is John Greenberg. And he has a new book out called She Could Send You to Prison. It's a book that he wrote. That is very similar to my situation. It is about a guy who was sent to prison by a scorned woman. And there's another story in the news about a football player that I want to get into when we come back. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to talk a little bit about John Greenberg, and we'll have him on in the 9 o'clock hour. So, again, I want to thank every one of you for coming to check us out. If you have, and the people who have been checking out the show after the show have been so overwhelming, just thank you for giving me a shot. Thank you for giving me a chance. It's appreciated more than you'll ever know. The audience has always made me, as a former listener of radio when I first got into this, the one thing I said was I learned that the audience member is the most important person there is when it comes to radio.
They're your clients.
They are, exactly. They're my clients.
Without them, there is nothing.
Exactly. Without you, I'm nothing. So I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. I can't help but appreciate you for everything you've done to at least, I don't know exactly how to put it, but just tuning in when you can. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about why am I keep forgetting his name? John Greenberg. Sorry, John Greenberg. His new book. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll have him on the air at 9 o'clock, and we'll talk about the case of the former high school football player who had his entire life ripped from him. Oh, the story is very, very eerily similar.
Awful.
Yeah, when we get back. So stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Clark.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wrap? Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in a tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in a...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and
he's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said. Which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Reese.
Who do we have on the line?
All right, this is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I L-O-V-E, I
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. And we're back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. 8:21, 21 minutes after the hour is your time. It is Thursday, May the 24th, 2012. We're going to be off for tomorrow until next week, Friday. I'm hoping to get back on Friday after I go to court and that whole bit. So, you know, of course, we'll fill you in. We will keep you updated. Please make sure you log on to reeseontheradio.com. You can always send me an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. You can always go to our Facebook page at reeseontheradio. And Twitter is reeseontheradio. JC, yeah.
Now, while we're away, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, something crazy compelling happens.
like, if you're telling me, like, something blows up. You know, like something crazy goes down.
Something crazy in general.
Okay.
And if Mary's up to it.
Uh-huh.
And if Mary's up to it, and of course James, and maybe Derek, and I'm almost sure Mike will call in. While you're off doing your thing, handling your business.
Right.
Do we have permission to boot up?
You know what?
Of course we have permission to boot up.
I guess you have permission to boot up. I mean, I wouldn't see any reason why you wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
It would be the right thing to do.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Now, JC, I'm having a problem finding this story because I want to get into it. Do you know the story that I'm talking about the high school kid?
Yeah, CBS News.
Okay, all right, do me a favor. Send me the link to that story because I thought I just had it on my computer. I do not have it here, and I'm trying to find it. The breakdown of the story is, and Mary, you don't even need to know the names. This isn't really important because when I read it, I was so captivated by it, of course, because it is synonymous with, you know, a story like mine. Other than the fact that this young man, well, I knew the young lady as well, so, but his situation was slightly different. Whatever the case was, he was a high school football prospect. He was being scouted. I mean, seriously, this kid was a future
NFLer,
no matter what. We're talking from the high school level. Apparently had sex with this girl. Consensually. Had sex.
Backtrack a little bit.
Go for it.
To my understanding, there was no actual sex between them.
Well, according to the Fox story that I saw, there was a consensual relationship.
It was a consensual relationship, but there hadn't been any sex at all.
Oh, really?
Right.
Oh, you definitely got to find me the link now. So I can get that. Okay, so the case turns out that she then reports she was raped.
By him.
By him. He's arrested. They go to trial because, in fact, I'm almost certain that they did have sex because I believe that there was something he couldn't avoid anything that would suggest that he hadn't had sex because whatever he was facing at trial, it was upwards of 41 years in jail. They wanted his lawyers to have him plead no contest. Based upon the story, which was very brief, he lost at trial. He ended up serving 6 years in jail. The California Innocence Project, or at least the California Bureau of the Innocence Project, came to his aid, and they had found out all of this information about the relationship between the two. He ends up getting out of jail after 6 years. In trying to, I guess, clear some part of his life up, she friends him on Facebook. I'm serious. She friends him on Facebook and asks to meet up with him, which he does.
Well, of course he does.
He meets up and apparently she then tells him that, yes, I lied. It wasn't true. It didn't happen. I want to help you get your life back. But, now this is the big but. She doesn't want to give the money back.
What money?
There you go. Waiting for that. Waiting for you to say that. What money? Her mother sued the school district for $1.5 million and won. And she doesn't want to
have... What did she sue? How do you sue the school district?
I don't know exactly how you sue the school district. I don't know the particulars of
that.
What's the premise of that lawsuit? I don't know. That's why I said it was such a small story, and I was reading it literally sitting in the back of a truck looking at this, and I wanted to get the whole gist of it, and I'm going, how the hell did this woman win $1.5 million? JC, do you have a story?
Well, it happened in the bleachers in school.
Okay, allegedly. So this happened on, consensual it was, but it happened on school grounds.
I'm pasting it to you now.
Say that again.
I'm pasting it to you now. Damn Google Chrome, I hate this browser.
So, now, she's saying that she doesn't want to have to give up the money. And
well, actually, there is no story on it. It's just the video.
The video of?
Of the story.
Oh, that's fine. I'll take that as well. You know how much I love playing audio on the show.
Uh-huh.
It's my favorite part of doing the show.
If this damn browser would stop asking me, do I want to kill the page or wait for it?
Everyone's having that issue on their computer.
I'm having that issue, too, and I'm using Google Chrome, and I hate it because I always X out of it because I'm thinking that it's like some type of virus or something.
No, Google Chrome, I hate this browser. My Firefox is acting up. I don't like Internet Explorer. What am I left with? Nothing.
Nothing, yeah. You're pretty much stuck.
Yahoo.
We may have to go back.
I miss Netscape. I really, really miss Netscape.
Yeah, wow. That's, it's been a while.
You went way back. Okay, so she meets up with him. She tells him, yes,
yes,
she
knows it was a lie. Yes.
Well, I mean, he knows it was a damn lie.
Of course he knows it was a lie.
Okay, so she admits to him that I hope he was recording all this.
Well, I don't know whether or not he was recording it, but, you know.
Yes, in fact, he was. That's why I want you guys to hear it for yourself. Hold on one second.
Oh, really? Okay, all right. Yes. You're going to send me the link. I'm hoping.
Wait, is there a recording of this girl telling him that?
Well, that would be damning.
Damn! I want to hear it.
I really, really need this audio. I'm sorry, folks, that we're ill-prepared here, but literally, we're walking. Literally, we're really flying by the seat of our
pants. These things did not start screwing up until they opened a damn IPO for Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. Blame them. It's their fault. Why don't you give me the title of the story, and then I'll open it up myself. By the way, folks, don't forget, if you need to send me an email during the week, it's reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. You can follow us on Facebook, and that is Reese on the Radio. Twitter, it's Reese on Radio. And, of course, there's always reeseontheradio.com. And
there we go.
On the radio.com?
There we go. Reese on the Radio. Reese on the Radio.
I thought you ended that.
No. Reese on the Radio is still up. It's gonna continue to stay up at least until June, until I decide what it is that I'm going to do with it. It may close down, but we're going to give it another month before we decide.
What's that?
On keeping Reese on the Radio up.
But did you
what's that .com?
Email to everyone?
Yeah, reeseontheradio.com. We might keep it up, but now the way things have been shifting, it might be good for people to, you know, people who want to get updates and information like that, I might just keep it up. So again, we're talking about the wrongly accused rapist exonerated after, well, they say 5 years in jail. The Fox story that I got was 6 years in jail.
No, it's 5 years. Did you get the link?
Yes, I have it. I'm already on it. I'm already ready to go.
I don't want to give too much of it away.
No, I don't want you to either, because like I said, I only had a brief story. It was a media link that I got on my phone, and when I saw it, I was stunned.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, here's the story here.
Petition is granted.
The end of Brian Banks' ordeal was marked by tears after a judge threw out the rape charge that had sent him to prison for more than 5 years.
My only dream in the world was to just be free and to have the same opportunity as everybody here.
He was a 16-year-old star linebacker with a full-ride scholarship to USC, and a dream to play in the NFL, when in 2002, a classmate accused Banks of raping her in the stairwell of their Long Beach high school. Although Banks insisted it was consensual and there was no sex, he told KCBS-TV that his defense attorney at the time gave him a choice: plead no contest to rape or risk a trial that could send him to prison for life.
When you go into that courtroom, the jury is going to see a big black teenager, and you're automatically going to be assumed guilty. Those are her exact words.
He took the deal, went to prison, and had to register as a sex offender. He thought that was the end of it. But after he was released came a surprise, a friend request on Facebook from his accuser, Juanetta Gibson.
I remember closing the laptop just like real quick and just like thinking, like, what did I just see?
So Banks arranged a meeting with a private investigator who videotaped the whole thing. Gibson later explained she hadn't wanted to say that publicly for fear of losing a $1.5 million settlement that her family had gotten after suing the school district.
I may not ever get the answers as to why I was supposed to go through what I went through, but I know that I'm here today and I remain unbroken.
Unbroken and working to get his life back on track. Those dreams of playing in the NFL, he says, might be realized yet. Lee Cowan, CBS News, Los Angeles.
What kind of scumbag does something like that? I mean, what kind of, what is wrong with people? I don't,
Isn't that one sick chick? And then to friend him on Facebook?
It's,
she was still in love.
Do you think it's a love thing?
I think she's to agree to meet him. Who
guilt.
Would want to meet someone that just got locked up for 5 years?
You've been in jail for 5 years, and now you come out, you get on Facebook. How did you even find her on? How did she even find you on Facebook?
She was looking him up.
I'm
going to explain to you why that is. No, there's a real simple explanation for that. Do not think that this girl did not have guilt sitting with her over and over again about, I lied and put a man in jail. She took a man's life and put him in prison. Now, she may not have much of a conscience, but she has one. This is eating her alive. She is reaping the rewards by taking another man's life away. She knows that. When she finds out he's out, there is something in her, and it's innate in all of us. It is innate in all of us. Some of us can walk away. Some of us just have that deal that they can't. And there's something eating away at her going, you know what? Let me at least talk to him, tell him I'm sorry. You know, so it don't come
like
back.
That was gonna do
no,
something.
No, no, but she might be thinking, so this doesn't come back and bite me on the ass. Maybe this isn't, maybe this is some way I can at least tell him I'm sorry. If he forgives me, I can move on and he can move on.
So it wasn't for him.
Oh, it's, of course it's for her. The reason why she accused him is for selfish reasons. The reason why anybody falsely accuses is about selfish reasons.
When you're in high school and you're at that, the high school is like a very...
Hey, did you guys catch the note in there that there was no sex?
Yeah, I did. I did not know that. But again, he said it was a relationship he said that was consensual but no sex. I mean, I guess they just had a relationship where I guess they just made out. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe
consensual.
They fondled one another.
Yeah, 16 and probably didn't know what to do, but that's not the point.
Yeah, exactly.
He claimed that it was.
He was 16 years old, for crying out loud.
At the age of 16, if she was 16 or 15 or whatever, in high school, where do you get that? Like, what is going on with the youth today? First of all, who put that in your head? Did you think of that yourself? And then, when you and your mama and your friends and your daddy, and if he was around, probably not, because he probably would not have allowed something like this to happen. Well, I mean, maybe she came up with it all on her own. Maybe her parents didn't have anything to do with it. But, you know...
You're wondering what it is she could possibly have gained.
And what were you thinking about when you were out there spending that $1.5 million when you were out there probably rolling around in a fly car?
But that doesn't mean anything at the end.
No,
at the end of the day, no. Listen to what I'm saying.
How do you live with yourself like that?
It's a personality disorder. That's what it is. When someone lies like that, about something like that, it's such a personality disorder. It's not about not having a conscience at that particular time, because you eventually will get it. You'll realize bad things are happening to you, and then you realize, oh, maybe it's because of that big lie that I told, or that big, you know, that wrong thing that I did. That may come after a while, but when it's happening, when you're in the mix of it, you are absolutely in panic mode. And the only person you're thinking about keeping from drowning is you. Is you. And it's a very narcissistic, selfish ideology. And that's what comes from that.
Right.
You're getting from all you're getting. Think about all the things that you're getting by not telling the truth. You're getting the pity at it. The pity part. You poor soul. Now they recognize it. Now they know I'm hurting. Now they know that I need to be noted.
But I'm not hurting.
It all supersedes, listen to me, it all supersedes doing what's right. When you have a...
Or is it like once... tell the lie, you can't, especially a lie like that, you can't, it's almost like you can't go back, you don't know how to go back.
Well, how can you ever go back?
Well, but like, if once you initially, say she went home and told her mother that, which whatever reason she would have had to tell her mother that, I don't know. Say she goes home and tells her mother that, and her mother says, oh my God, you know, of course she does the whole motherly thing, we're calling the police.
Right.
Like, I think that if I would have went home and told my mother, you know, Ma, I was raped, or, you know, this happened, and it was a lie, and once she was like, okay, let's call the police, at that point, don't you step back and be like, oh, crap.
Wait a minute, but think about it. You just told the ultimate lie to your mother. Can you imagine having to bring that back? Your mother will never believe a word you say ever. Don't you think that somebody...
I would rather explain if I lied about something like that to get attention. That's just like kids try to commit suicide. A lot of times, teenagers, they try to commit suicide, and it's not about committing suicide. It's not about killing themselves. They don't really want to die. Or kids that act out, they hang out with bad people. They hang out with the wrong crowd. They want attention, and any attention is better than negative attention is better than no attention.
Right.
So you do things in order to get what you need, whether you're taking the best path to get there or not. But I would have rather sat down with my mother and been like, Ma, you know what? I don't want to take it. You know, really, that didn't happen. I'm sorry that I lied to you.
Mary, I understand where you're coming from, but not with a situation of rape. Let me explain to you why that is. with a situation of rape, if a girl turns around and says, excuse me, I was raped, and then turns around and recants that to the person she told it to, that person who hears it goes into a tailspin.
But your mother.
No, the mother goes into a tailspin. Did it happen, or now is she trying to protect that person? Mom only knows protection. What do you mean it didn't happen? Who are you trying to protect? Did it happen? Did he touch you in a certain way? Did it happen?
Okay,
not like it,
I'm gonna,
you know what I'm saying? It's that kind of thing.
I want to share a story. I'm going to share anybody else out there listening. This is a very interesting story. And I hope, no, if anybody in my family or my friends are listening, don't be offended. I mean, you know, I'm telling the story because of me. This isn't to shed any bad light on anybody. When I was young, my father was out of my life, you know, for all of my life, right? Except for until I was up to like 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and I don't share the same father. However, my biological father did, you know, bring her in, and I think that he actually legally adopted her at some point or whatever. So I was about 8 years old. And
is this tough for you to talk about?
No, of course it is, but I'll get through it.
No, when I say if it's tough for you, I don't
know. No, I'm fine. I was, you know, I was about 8 years old. I was best friends with a girl named Kelly. My sister was best friends with a girl named Mickey that happened to be Kelly's big sister. So little sisters, you know, whatever. So my sister confided in her best friend that my father molested her.
Okay.
So her best friend felt, and they were teenagers. I was about 8. My best friend Kelly was probably about 9 because she's a few months older than me. My sister was 5 years older than me. Mickey was probably about 6 years older than me. So Mickey feels compelled to sit my sister down and my mother and tell her.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, of course, I'm like, when I find out, which why anybody would have told me that at the age of 8, I don't know.
Right.
I find out, I'm all distraught because, you know, this is my father. How dare you talk? Even though I haven't seen or heard from him in 3 years,
mm-hmm.
This is still my father. How dare you talk about him like that? You know, you it's like, that's my dad, not yours. Are you must be lying because you don't know who your father is.
Right.
You know, I hated her. You know, so we went back and forth for many years after that. There was a point when I got to about 13 years old, I was rivaling with my mother, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go live with, I'm going to go live with my father. I'm going to South Carolina, I'm going to go live with my father, right? Because I felt like I was in that, you know, I was being an ornery teenager. I didn't feel like my mother was giving me what I wanted. And I figured my father has all these laws. I kind of like was playing them,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
I was playing the two of them against each other. I knew that if I went to South Carolina, my father would give me anything I wanted because he felt guilty for not having been in my life from the age of 5 until 13.
Well, that was your philosophy, or at least what
yeah.
you thought.
Yeah, well, and that is what happened.
Oh, okay.
So I leave New York. I go to South Carolina. They live in this small town. They still have, like, cream shop. You can go get, like, a soda.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
Right.
So I go there. You know, it was like I was going to have to walk to school. I didn't want to have to do that. It was too far. It was too hot. My father paid for a cab to pick me up every morning from home, take me to school, and
spoiled.
Bring me home, you know. But, like, at night, and we had a dysfunctional family.
Who
for
didn't?
Us, it was functional, but for everybody else outside that didn't live that type of life, it was dysfunctional.
Sure.
So, it was my mother didn't put me to bed every night and be like, honey, I love you. I'll see. You
right,
know,
right,
it was
right.
more like, B, go to bed. You got to get up and go to school in the morning,
right.
You know. I need to go to the bar. So, but my father was very much like, I went there, I had my own room. My father would come every night and like try to give me a hug and a kiss goodnight and be like, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. And it made me feel like, it made me feel skeevy. Like I was, all I could think about was what my sister had said to
me. Okay, I was about to ask you that.
That's
okay.
All I could think about. I was like, because she, first she tells me it happened, then she tells me it didn't happen.
Okay.
Then she tells me it happened, then she tells me it didn't happen to this, at this point. We then have a phone conversation, and I'm telling her, you know, it's making me feel real uncomfortable. I don't want to be here. You know, it's because of what you told me. You know, I don't even want him to touch me because I feel dirty. I feel like he's trying to touch me, and, you know, I can't get this out of my head. And she's like, Mary, I swear to you, I promise what I said was a lie. I was doing it for attention. It never happened, blah, 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 blah. But, okay, so I still couldn't get past it. A couple of weeks passed by, and I run away from my father's house and go to my grandparents. I go to my aunt's house.
Goodness.
Cut school, go to my aunt's house, fall asleep in my uncle's car, waiting for everybody to get home from work. They get home from work. They take me to my grandparents' house. My grandparents pay for me to go back to New York because I can't stay. Like, at this point, I can't stay here. I was having problems in school because of it, everything. So, I get back to New York. Now, I'm 13 at the time. I'm 37 now. This was 24 years ago, right? If my math is right. 24 years ago. So we were, my father and I were estranged for a while. Then we kind of would go back and talk to each other on the phone. We kind of had a phone relationship. I really wanted to get a lot of medical background.
Sure.
So I knew, you know, what to expect as I got older, you know, as I had gotten older throughout the years. So we had seen each other again at my grandfather's funeral. You know, time moved on. We didn't see each other. So.
Take your time.
I felt like I never really did get the answer.
Did you ever?
Yeah.
Do you want to disclose that or no?
Yeah. So, years later, I go from 16, 17 seeing him the last time. No, I'm sorry. I was about 21 the last time I had seen him. I go from seeing him at the grandfather's funeral to having a semi-decent phone relationship with him, communication. 2007 comes where, you know, everybody's coming from, people are coming from New York. You know, my father comes from South Carolina. With
all to meet where?
All to meet here in Virginia.
Okay, in Virginia.
So, because we're going to have a big, you know, get together. I think it was somebody's birthday. We were having a party or whatever. So, everybody is here, right? Everybody. Fine time. Mary always knows how to pick the right time. So I want my father and my stepmother to stay in a hotel. I have my own apartment and I have room, but I'm not comfortable with them like that.
You still having issues or?
I'm still having issues.
Right.
These are because everything is unresolved. Were you lying to me? I don't know what to believe.
So you kept a distance of some sort.
Yes.
Just so you had, I guess, be comfortable in this surrounding where there were going to be all of these people around. And, you know what I mean? It's like, it's sort of a family reunion, but you still got unresolved issues and you're trying to keep everything calm at the same time.
Exactly.
Okay.
My mother and my father had just recently had heart surgery. My stepmother has all these health issues or whatever. She's like a zombie on all these meds.
You do spin a yarn, by the way.
So, I know. Okay, so I tell my mother and my sister, you know, well, I'm going to have them stay at a hotel. Oh, my God, Mary, don't make them stay in a hotel. How could you do that? That's your father. You got to let him stay in your apartment. And I'm like, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable that I even know that this man knows me well enough that I want, even aside from the fact that the molestation thing is there, I don't know if I feel comfortable enough with these. They're really strangers to me. I don't know them.
I don't want to cut into your story.
Okay.
I just want to know.
Okay.
Does this ever come to a head? I want to get there.
So they talk me into letting him stay, right? They guilt me into letting him stay in my apartment.
Fair enough.
I let him stay. Everything goes smooth for like the first 2 days, right? You know, and then I'm getting really antsy. I'm getting real uncomfortable. I approach my mother and my sister and I'm like, listen, This is really making me uncomfortable. I tried to explain this to you guys before. I feel like I'm getting frustrated. I don't know where to take this. I don't want to bring it up because I almost don't want to face it myself because I've never confronted him about it.
Right.
And the story still flip-flops back and forth with my sister. Or, you know, what's the truth? What she thinks is best for me to know.
Mm-hmm.
So they are still guilting me into this is your father, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, but I'm uncomfortable. You don't understand.
But here's,
okay,
do you approach it?
Yes.
Okay.
We are all at my aunt's house.
Everyone's there?
Everybody. Everybody. The entire family.
Okay.
Like,
please tell me how it's brought up.
So, I then start to distance myself from him. I start to become snap. I see my mother and my sister catering to him.
Ooh.
Which then enrages me because I'm like,
this is supposed to be the guy who did these horrible things.
If this happened to you,
right? Why are you treating him so kindly?
Why are you treating? How could you have forgiven him?
Forgiven him.
How could you have forgiven him and then treat him as if he is freaking royalty? You're treating him better than you treat me when I come to visit you in Alabama.
But hold on. I have to stop you because it sounds more like, even though they never really cleared up if it did or didn't happen, it seems like in your mind, you kind of were leaning towards it did.
Yes.
Okay.
Always.
All right. Okay. All right. So what do you go? Do you just come flat out and burst something out or blurt something out? Or something?
Oh, yes.
Tell me what you said.
So it gets to a head. Now, my boyfriend at the time was with me. It boils. It gets to a head. My father approaches me in front of everyone.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he meant to do it in front of everybody, and he sure didn't know what the outcome of that was going to be, He approaches me, and he says, you know, Mary, why are you treating me like this? Like, you know, what is it? I go off.
And
at that point, I was done.
No holds barred.
No. I was like, you want to know why I'm treating you like this? You SOB. You molested my sister.
Ugh.
But it gets better.
Okay.
Or worse.
Really?
Now, everybody hears that. I think that everybody kind of was aware of that story anyway.
Right.
So he in turn, my ex-boyfriend now, current boyfriend at the time, is like standing there looking at me like, oh, shit. Whoa. Right? Like, he doesn't know where to go because he knows the family and stuff, but he doesn't know where to go. He's just
right, oh my God,
I got to get her and get her out of here.
Right.
Because he knows that the shit's about to hit the fan. So he turns around and says to me, his response to that was, but I didn't do it to you.
Oh, my God. I can't even go any further.
So that then sealed the deal for me. That told me.
But wait a minute. Just one question.
I
hear you loud and clear. My question was, did he say that out loud in front of everyone who was there?
Yes.
Really?
But this is the kicker. Though he says it out loud in front of everybody, so now my sister is like in a frenzy, right? Because she doesn't know where to go.
Right.
My mother doesn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend at the time is like, Mary, we got to go. I'm hysterical crying. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. My sister starts screaming at me. How could you do that? He just had heart surgery. You're going to make him have a heart attack. Blah, blah, blah. They're still defending him.
Still defending him. Yeah, okay.
Seriously.
I can understand how that would make you even more enraged.
So I'm more enraged. So then my uncle goes off on my boyfriend at the time, like it was his fault. Like, did you
really?
Not just know? Like, then everybody, after the fact, everybody is like, everything was my fault. I shouldn't have done that. It was the wrong time and place. So I started it. Every time we have a get-together,
I'm
like the drunk uncle or something that starts some shit.
Well, if you've been cursing a lot.
Sorry.
It's okay. I get the impression that more people were comfortable with this whole thing never ever being brought up again, and you bringing it up for some odd reason made them have to deal with a truth that they were willing to just sweep under the rug.
And yes, you were the only because person they were willing to accept
and move on.
They were willing to forgive and move on. I mean, if the person that it happened
well,
to
nobody
could
can,
forgive
nobody can, I,
and move on.
This is the way I look at it with you. You can't be expected to do that because in your eyes, you really never knew the truth. And it was never, ever solidified or confirmed in any manner or way, but be it your mother, by be it your sister, or even your dad for that matter.
But they still felt like
yeah, but they
had, I should have forgiven him.
No. Well, they
even after the fact,
they didn't
even
know,
after I found out.
Oh, well, they listen, that's irresponsible on their part. It's completely irresponsible on their part. They had come to terms with it, and they were expecting you to do something that they had already done, but you didn't have any knowledge of what really happened.
Was the
anyway.
Truth.
Yeah, so
until that point.
That's
and,
ridiculous.
You know, it was...
I can understand. It was a mess. It was a mess waiting to happen.
Wow.
It's
all I can say is wow.
Incredible story, Mary. I thank you for sharing it. I
yeah,
mean,
really, really.
Still struggled to this day.
I can
should
imagine.
Should I try to have a relationship with him to deserve that? And I can't put myself.
You do what it just needs to do.
I would rather have done it. No, seriously.
I understand
like,
where you're coming from there, but that's not. You don't.
Because this is not even the border.
I understand where you're coming
from.
She will not let that elephant in the room rest.
I understand that. I understand where you're coming from, but you don't want to look at it in that way. And again, thank you. That takes a lot to do, too.
It does. It really does.
A lot to share something like that personal. So I appreciate it. I also want to make sure that I do this. I have to thank a good friend who also posted yesterday's audio on his website. It's called Black and Right. Mr. Bob Parks out of Massachusetts, who also does correspondence over at MRC TV. Again, MRC TV, I really, really appreciate you guys, all you've done for me just posting that video. And I want to thank Mary personally for sharing that story. It's really just one of those things where, you know, I guess
you know,
talk
I
about
thought it. I had a crazy story, but Mary's story dwarfs mine.
Well, and I wanted to, the point of me sharing that with everybody was, you know, the back and forth. Like,
well, you want to give some context
you know,
into what that's like.
Yeah, and you can't, if you bring projects, I'm not talking about just, you bring charges against someone's character, against someone with something that big, something to that nature.
That huge, yeah, sure.
It's huge, and it doesn't only affect the person, the victim, the you know the accused. It affects everyone, and it affects them forever.
Right.
Like for I will be affected by that forever.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right. I think that fully gives context to what it is that we're talking about. And I think that is the lesson that has to be learned in all of that.
And just tell the truth from the get-go.
Yeah. You're right. You're
and if you
right.
lie, go back and tell the truth immediately. Don't let that lie snowball into something that is totally out of your control now and you can't ever get it back.
Yeah.
Or just don't freaking lie.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go to the top of the hour. Thank you again, Mary. I really appreciate it. It's Reese on the Radio. When we get back, we're going to talk to Mr. John Greenberg, critically acclaimed author of the books Stop and Think, She Could Send You to Prison. And he's also written another book, and I want to make sure that I have the name of it here because I think I'm familiar with this book. And I got to find the title of it, but we'll talk about that when we get back. Again, John Greenberg, the author of the book Stop and Think, She Could Send You to Prison, when we come back on Reese on the Radio. And let me get my audio correct here. so I can make sure that I know what it is that I'm doing.
Oh, Kool-Aid Man has joined us.
Has he joined us?
Yes, he has.
All right. Well, we'll talk to him as well when we get back. So stick around. It's Reset on Radio.
A carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Harry, I'm a little man. It's quite a snow. I'm everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back 1 minute after the hour right here on Blog Talk Radio. It is Thursday, May the 24th, 2012. As you know, if you've been listening to the show so far, and if you're just catching up, we've been talking about MRCTV.org, which posted yesterday's monologue that we did about the My Court case coming up next week. We also talked about the young man in California who at 16 who was accused of rape, spent over 5 years in prison and caught the girl on tape saying that he indeed did not rape her, and she won a $1.5 million settlement from the school, and he has just been released from jail. And we're today's had a theme. It came out of nowhere. I got an email today which told us about the gentleman we're about to talk to now, Mr. John Greenberg, who is the author of several best-selling titles. He is just written a new book called Stop and Think, She Could Send You to Prison, talking about a woman scorned. And we'd like to thank him, and we're going to talk about some of the other books that he's written. Mr. Greenberg, John Greenberg, thank you for being on Reese on the Radio today.
Well, thank you ever so much for having me, Reese.
Yeah, I really want to get into this book with you. I don't know if your publicist gave you an opportunity to read the posting that I put up on my website.
I absolutely did, and I was enthralled with it. Isn't it remarkable that I'm reading your story the same day that Brian Banks' story hits the airwaves, so to speak, or it hits the internet. And then we're going to be discussing my book, and the commonality is that the way the legal system has evolved, women can make these accusations falsely, and there's really not that much that's done to them.
You know, it's interesting in the Banks case, there was something I wanted to mention to you about this, was that Mr. Banks says in his story that his lawyer, and I don't think it matters whether or not she was a female or a woman for that matter, but she said to him that the jury is going to see a big black man and they're going to believe it. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, but let's talk more or less about your book, because when I heard about the bank story at
right.
the same time I heard about your book, I was wondering if your book, did that have anything to do with his story?
No, it didn't, because Banks' situation happened in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Smith's situation, Justin Smith is the subject of this book. This is basically his autobiography.
Okay.
And this incident happened in 2010. So this is even more recent.
Wow.
Okay, and Justin Smith is a remarkable young man. He played football in college.
Mm-hmm.
He graduated. He's also a talented saxophone player.
Mm-hmm.
He started his own marketing business. He was doing well with it, and he had this long-term on-again, off-again relationship with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And not to spoil the whole story or anything, but basically they got into an argument, and she suddenly picked up her cell phone and called the police and said that he was trying to kill her. So he ran out of the house. She chased him out of the house with a baseball bat and hit him in the head and knocked him unconscious. And he had the keys to her car in his hand because his luggage was in the car. She was going to drive him to the airport the next morning. Anyway, he tried to escape. She hopped into the passenger seat of the car, and as they were going down the street, she threw the door wide open and jumped out.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
She landed face down in the street. She got up. She ran back to her duplex. He continued with the car. He parked it. He put the keys in the side panel of the driver's door and then called her, got voicemail, left a detailed message as to where the car was parked. He checked in later, found out that she had gotten the car, and he had forgotten about the whole issue. It was just one of those terrible things that everybody wanted to forget about. And then a couple of months later, he stopped at a sobriety checkpoint in California and finds out he's got a $1,100,000 warrant for his arrest for attempted murder and carjacking.
Wow.
Anyway, he sat in the L.A. County jail for 7 months awaiting his trial, and it was, well, he's out. He was found not guilty. The rest of it, they're going to have to read the book to find out about it. But we're getting to the commonality that it was such an achievement for him to be found not guilty, that the odds were 98-1 against that. And he lost everything. He lost his house. He lost his business. He lost everything. But he was told that to try and pursue her, to have her prosecuted for what she did, it isn't going to happen. And he figured that it was such a miracle to be found not guilty that he's not going to press the issue and try to sue her in civil court.
Right, so he's pretty much got to move on.
He's got to move on.
Yeah, we're on
the
phone.
And this is a tragedy this is the real tragedy that is going on out there, is
yeah.
that there's been such an over concern. It's really not an over concern. It's just that rape, attempted murder, domestic violence can scar a woman for life, and society is very aware of this. But the problem is that what happens to those who make false accusations? This ruins the credibility of all the real victims.
Absolutely. We're on the phone with John Greenberg, the author of Stop and Think, She Could Send You to Prison, which I like to call, and you can, either back me up, co-sign,
right.
or completely disavow any knowledge of this, but I think this is sort of like a textbook for young men to learn about cases like this. This is something that a lot of young men need to read and understand that not to say that all relationships can end like this, but some can, and you might want to protect yourself.
Well, I really take that as high praise, and that is the reason why Justin wanted to get his story told.
Mm-hmm.
Because and there's also the factor that these incidents are so surreal
mm-hmm.
that it's so difficult for a person who goes through them to quickly explain what happened to them.
You know, let me ask you about this. Have you followed any statistics on cases like these, like rape cases. I read a story. Someone sent this to me in about 2010 when I was locked up in Rikers Island.
Right.
And there was an Air Force Academy study that said that of all rape cases, 41% of them were false rape claims. Have you heard any studies similar to that?
I've heard so many studies, Reese. I just don't know. You know, there's a huge concern, a huge emphasis on what's called campus rape or college rape.
Right.
And this is heavily prosecuted. I mean, even if the people involved do not wish to push it, the way the laws are, there has to be an investigation.
Well, that's one thing that I've noticed here, and I think that you'll agree with me, and I've mentioned this plenty of times on our show, that the police investigation, or even for that matter, the prosecution, you know,
right,
can take guys like Nifong in the Duke LaCrosse,
right,
case, you know, cases like this. What I believe is that the job of vetting the accuser has been thrown out the window because they know that in the court of public opinion, and more likely with a jury pool,
right,
more people are willing to believe the alleged victim in the case than they would the accuser. So why vet the person? Another part of that is that we live in a society that says we cannot demonize women when it comes to cases like domestic violence and rape or sexual assault. We cannot demonize women in any way, so when a woman is found out to have falsified a claim, we have to keep that under wraps because we have to continue the narrative that women are being abused at a X amount of numbers per year. We have to keep talking about how women are the minorities, keep talking about how women are the victims. And in order to keep pushing that narrative, we have to quell, or silence for that matter, any stories where a woman is using that as some sort of comeuppance, payback, or retribution towards her lover, boyfriend, or another man.
Basically to teach him a lesson.
Yes.
Do you know that I did, in college, I did a report on domestic violence. I did a whole PowerPoint presentation on it.
Mm-hmm.
Most women that are abused, obviously more men that are abused don't report it because of
that whole
it's not manly.
That whole macho thing, right? And they think that, how can I go to the police and report this? They're not going to believe me. I'm a man. How can a woman abuse me, right? But most women, there's a much larger percent of women that don't ever report domestic or physical abuse, any type of physical abuse, whether it's sexual or not, don't report that abuse. And for whatever reasons those are, it wasn't clear what the reasons are, but more women that really are abused don't report it. And I would probably think that more women that are not abused falsely report things. You know, I would probably think that the numbers are higher, either even or higher, because its studies show that most women that are in a domestic violence relationship or that have had some type of assault don't even report it. And whatever their reasons are, whether it's, you know, they're afraid of repercussions.
Well, we're really putting an awful lot on the table tonight.
We are. I apologize.
No, there's no problem. First of all, you know, I've written a book, Judy's Miracle, about a woman who was an incest and rape survivor, and she has achieved healing and recovery, okay? And after having worked on these different projects, my theory about domestic violence, sexual abuse, child sexual abuse, all of it, is that what we're talking about is control. The person who is the abuser is somebody that is empty inside, and they've got to exert control over somebody.
Right.
Okay? So now, it doesn't surprise me, we're talking about women who are victims of domestic violence, they are dependent on these people that are violent against them because that could be the breadwinner.
Right.
They have children. They're trying to raise a family. This is the man that they brought into their life. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's
right.
trying to take control of her. That's why it's hard to try to get them to come forward.
But shouldn't that be, with that being said, regardless of what the stories are or the statistics are or the
right.
numbers are, that no prosecution or no investigation should be influenced by some sort of numbers or
okay.
statistics or anything about it. It should be about just vetting it as you would any crime
right.
or personal experience.
You're absolutely correct, but I'll tell you what I learned from Justin's case. And
sure.
incidentally, his public defender read the entire manuscript. She went over it with a fine-tooth comb, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a problem there called, I call it the damsel in distress syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
If you get witnesses and they see what they perceive to be a damsel in distress, they're going to maybe, shall we say, instinctually or subconsciously, they're going to side with the woman.
Yeah, if
okay.
there was even like one little red flag that they may have known these people for 20 years, and if
right.
there was one time that, you know, maybe the husband or the boyfriend or vice versa, wife,
right.
girlfriend, you know, did anything to raise a little red flag, like raise their voice or, you know, maybe
right.
threw a look at them, they could, it's almost like those are the things that stand out in those people's minds.
Right. Now,
like,
another
oh.
factor is that it seems that the law enforcement people, if the victim positively identifies the person who assaulted them,
right,
then they're going to go with that. Because Justin was not interviewed. He was not given his Miranda rights because
mm-hmm.
they didn't ask him any questions until the preliminary hearing.
You know, it's interesting you say that because in my case, in order to get an indictment, there was, of course, no physical evidence because it's 2008. The person
right.
claims it happened in 2004. In order to get an indictment, all it took was the witness coming in, my accuser coming in and saying, yeah, that's the guy, indictment.
Right.
It was that simple. What inspired you to write Justin Smith's story?
Well, I got in touch with him because I've written a lot of books on football.
Mm,
and
okay.
then I heard it was a relative of his that established contact because this was the biggest thing that ever happened in Justin's life. And he was trying to explain it to all the people that he knew, you know, what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this writing the book was basically a way for him to get it all down on paper. And then, I said, this story, this is a great story because this could help a lot of people. It could help young men. It could help men who are successful. Because if you're successful, you're a target.
You're a bigger
target. Like it or not,
that's
the way it is.
You are a bigger target, especially if you are any way near successful. It can happen to you. Have you now? You said you've written books about football,
right?
Do you find this rampant within sports or even in football that guys because and I guess I'm almost feel like I'm stereotyping football players, but you know you hear stories like Terrell Owens, you know, with
right.
three different women who's, you know, he has children
with. Well, they're getting themselves into what Justin has always called a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. You've got to be, first of all, it's beyond, doing right or wrong. It's really acting safe, acting in a sustainable way. And avoiding putting yourself into a vulnerable situation.
Uh-huh.
And also, not just reacting, but responding, thinking about what you're doing. you know, this is why we titled it Stop and Think. She could send you to prison. Because there's so many situations every day. There's something in the paper. Look at Deion Sanders and this recent problem he had with his ex-wife.
Right. Well, soon to be ex-wife for that matter.
Right. You know, look at all these, you know, and when you talk about football, I mean, I've written books about Amos Alonzo Stagg. I mean, I'm talking about football from back in the 1870s all the way up through today.
Mm-hmm.
The players in the last 20 years, the last 20, 25 years, those are the ones that really could benefit from this because they've got to stop and think before they get themselves into these vulnerable situations.
We're going to take a break. For a while, I want to ask you some questions about some of the, because I believe that, and this is my personal opinion, that there is a certain economic, I want to say an economic point of view to this. And when I say that is that there are people from the inner city that are involved in sports that get caught up in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
In Mr. Smith's case, do you think that that played any role? I want to ask you about that. And I also want to ask you about, let me just ask you before we take a break, was there any media attention given to this when he was arrested?
Absolutely none. This is another remarkable thing. The story never made the papers.
Mm-hmm.
It was never on television. And in L.A., if it's a high-profile case, they will have cameras in the courtroom. But he was so grateful that it did not get media attention because that would have made it more difficult.
You believe that? Huh.
Well, we get back to the same old damsel in distress syndrome.
Right. I understand where you come from. Well, I want to ask you more about that when we get back. We'll take a break for a couple of minutes. On the phone with us, folks, is Mr. John Greenberg, the writer of the new book, who I can't wait till I get my copy, which I'm sort of hint, I'd like. Stop and Think, She Could Send You to Prison. We'll talk about when the book's coming out and some of the lessons that could be learned for our young people, especially young men. When we come back, it's Reese on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here
on BlackTalkRadio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back right here on Blog Talk Radio, 27 minutes after the hour, on this May the 24th, 2012, Therapy Thursday, to those of you who know better. We got a little bit of therapy out of Mary today.
I think you all were my therapy.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. On the phone with us, spending some time with us, is Mr. John Greenberg, critically acclaimed author of the new book, Stop and Think, She Could Send You to Prison. Again, Mr. Greenberg, thank you for spending some time with us. And
well, thank you ever so much for having me.
No, and thank you for telling us about your timing was impeccable, you know, for you showing up on our show today with yesterday's show and, you know, my court case coming up next week with this whole hearing going on. And I wanted to ask you this. If you think, because on Reese on the Radio, we do a thing. Everything's race-related on Reese on the Radio. It's racism all the time on Reese on the Radio. And as an African-American, Mary is white, JC is black. We get a large mix. But we don't shy away from race here. We don't. We have an open discussion about it.
Okay.
And I want to know from your experience or dealing with writing this book.
Right.
That do you think that with Justin Smith's case, or with other cases like his, have you seen this play among racial lines in any way?
I really don't think so. I think that this is an equal opportunity problem.
It is.
That this goes on. It doesn't matter what income level you're talking about. It doesn't matter. It can be, you could be one of the 1%. You could be one of the 99%. the problems are all there because human beings, we all suffer from the same emotional pains, loneliness, insignificance, guilt, disrespect, failure, and we all have the same basic problems that we have to put up with. And I think that when it comes down to being a woman scorned, you can be a woman scorned whether you live in a mud hut or whether you live in a palace.
This is true. Because I guess it is about the personality. It isn't about,
right.
You know, I don't think it plays any role on any of that. The reason why I ask that is because I've seen these cases play out with football players. I see it more with black athletes, but with celebrities or like businessmen, I see it playing out a lot with whites. This
right.
is not, you know, this is something that I see that's sort of, you know, categorically different when it comes to the roles that people play in their lives. That's why I asked.
These what we're talking about is two people who really and truly do not have any type of real relationship going. For one reason or another, they have this relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it wasn't a strong, truly loving relationship to begin with. And this is why when you say stop and think, when you're going to invite a person into your life, you've got to be very careful about who that person is.
And that's something interesting you mentioned about that when you say about stop and think. When you talk about stop and think, are you saying, and I'm going to use the word vet again, do you think
right.
that there were more young people today who are not vetting their potential in a significant other?
I don't think it's just young people. I think it's old people. I think it's in-between people.
Well, you don't think that this is... Because I think young people are more into aesthetics. Like, you know, young people see a girl walking down the street. She looks
right.
good. She's cute. She's attractive.
Right.
They don't know whether or not this person is a basket case, where older people are a little more involved with, what do you like to do? Do you like to travel? Do you work out? Where do you
right.
work? You know, what are your aspirations in life? I don't think younger people care about that.
And also, you've got to separate it between the male and female.
Okay.
With the female, they want a long-term relationship. There's a one and only.
Right.
And the boy, I mean, she's fine until the next one comes along.
Hmm. Do you think, now, I don't know whether or not I'm asking you to give that away in this particular book or with Justin Smith's case, does he suggest in his sort of meeting with this woman that he wasn't really trying to have a committed relationship with her?
This woman, her name was Antoinette. This woman was his very first lover, his
Ooh.
Very first girlfriend. And then the only reason that they separated was that she went away to college. And then she got a dream job with MTV.
Oh, wow.
You know, so we're talking about two people. They happen to both be African American, but they, even though they lived in a troubled neighborhood, they both had talent. She was a tremendous hip-hop dancer. You know, and he had talents. He could play football. He was a very good saxophone player who performed in a band that toured, went over to Europe.
Oh, wow.
So we're talking about people, like we said, this is not a lower income problem. This is something where you've got two people that had talents, opportunities to move on to bigger things.
Yeah, on the outside, you would sort of think that these two mesh. They were both involved in entertainment. They
right.
liked the same things. I guess if you were to look at their resumes, they would be a perfect match for each
right.
other.
But he did also have a girlfriend, and he told her that she could never be number one. But, you know, if a woman is still hanging around with you, so to speak, even though she's told that she's number two, she'll never accept that. She's always going to think, well, I can move number one out of the way.
Well, yeah, and I think that from a woman's perspective, when you're young and you're really inexperienced with life and relationships, whether it be friendships, intimate relationships, family relationships, you're not, you know, you're not a seasoned veteran
right.
when it comes to those things. And you, as a woman, if a man tells you, most women, I would think, if a man tells you no, you can't be number one, you'll only be number two, it's almost like this is a challenge now.
Right.
And I'm gonna make you see why I should
right.
be number one, and you're willing to go at any lengths to do that. And then when you put forth all this effort and still you're still number two, you become
a maniac.
Yeah.
You become a woman scorned, and hell has no fury like a woman scorned.
Yeah,
and you're going to try to teach him a lesson.
Exactly. You become resentful. It's like, okay, you told me,
right.
I didn't believe you because I believed more in me than I believed in you because
right.
I'm going to make this work. And then you become resentful. It's like, okay, I've done all of this for you. I've done all of this for us. And still... nothing. So I'm going to get you back because
right.
I'm going to get you back in a different way because you didn't comply to what I wanted.
And the smarter and the tougher you are, the greater the lengths you will go to try and concoct this whole thing.
Now, Justin's case, you said he was locked up for about 7 months. Finally went to trial.
Right.
And was, of course, exonerated, found not guilty.
Right.
Were they able to, I mean, I don't want to give anything away in the book, but I'm trying to figure out.
Well,
exactly.
if the major evidence is the positive identification by the victim, what you have to do is challenge the truthfulness.
Mm-hmm.
of the victim, and,
right,
and that's what happened.
Okay. So
I'm sorry. I don't mean to jump in, but I always refer back to this whenever this type of conversation comes up. I sat on a jury.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, I sat on a jury, and there was a young lady that accused her coworker of sexually assaulting her on the job in a break room.
Mm-hmm.
However, there was no physical evidence, no audio, no video, no physical evidence presented, like from her body. I mean, there was nothing. There was nothing. All it was her word against his. Well,
yeah, what do you, how do you,
that's a tough case.
We found him not guilty.
Yeah,
you know, we talked about it. There were some people, you know, of course, there were people that had. We all had concerns, of course, because you don't want to. It's
no.
like you don't want to let a criminal go, and then it's going to happen to somebody else, regardless of what the accusation
right.
is. But it's a burden of proof. You have no proof.
Right. It is not what you. It's not what you know. It's what you can prove.
Yes. Right. And that is the bottom line. All right, now this book is coming out when, or is it available
it's
now?
It's out there. It's available through Amazon.com and paperback,
right.
and the digital version can be gotten on Lulu, L-U-L-U.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with Lulu.
Right.
Do you have anything else coming up in the works after this book? And we're certain it's going to be a success because, trust me, I'm going to promote this.
Well, I do have several projects. You know, in the works. And I mentioned that Judy's Miracle, that book is out about the incest and rape survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And I have The Grand Old Man, Amos Alonzo Stagg. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've got several titles out there. I've got A Haunted Soul. This is the story of Jason Dowd, who is a talented artist, photographer, and his lifelong struggle with the paranormal.
Oh, wow.
What did you say then?
you know.
Well, that's no, well, you cover you.
I'm sorry. Can you tell me what the name of your book was that you said was a an incest survivor?
Yeah, Judy's Miracle.
Oh, can you tell me the woman that it's about? Can you tell me the woman that it's about?
Her name is Judy Moore, and she went through an absolute horrific experience. I've been told that this book is eerie, that it's something that would be in the realm of Stephen King, only this is real life.
Wow.
But and her husband, she was fortunate to meet a man named Neil Moore, who was her husband. They're truly in love, and it was their relationship that enabled her to achieve healing and recovery. And incidentally, Neil is a very accomplished stage hypnotist and mentalist.
Oh, really?
He's performing up in Canada right now as we speak, and I'm in the process of writing a book with him called It's All in Your Mind. It's all about his career as a stage hypnotist and mentalist. So
that is a perfect title. Okay, well, one final question.
Sure.
You're primarily writing books.
These are nonfiction stories, autobiographies, although I do have a novel that I helped a lady write that's coming out called Love Beyond Borders. It's about internet relationships and illegal immigration, and it's a novel, but it's based on true occurrences, and the characters are sort of a composite of other people. But you know, you were asking about projects in the works, and I also have a book about Bruce Lee, the untold story of his years in Seattle, Washington, that I've worked with a gentleman who was one of his first students. So there's a lot of things that'll be popping up on the horizon.
Okay. All right. Then I have to ask you about a future project you don't know about.
Okay.
All right. There's this guy. His name is Reese Hopkins. He's got an incredible story.
Okay.
And, you know, I was thinking, you know, he's kind of the guy you would write about. There isn't anything that you don't write about, it appears. You've covered from the
paranormal. I love people. I can't imagine being a fiction writer because, you know, the people that I've been so blessed in coming in contact with, nobody could make up this stuff. This is unbelievable, larger than life stories on grand stages, and that's what makes life so appealing to me.
Well, then you're always pretty much as we say in the they say in the urban world, always in the lab cooking up something new.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you about this Reese Hopkins guy.
Okay.
You might want to think about it. Okay, it's a pretty compelling story, at least from what I've heard.
Well, I'm sure it is. And from what I've seen about it, it's a real page turner.
What did you think of that? I mean, you read Anatomy of a False Rape Claim Part 1. I'm still working on Part 2 because, of course, we've got the hearing coming
right up.
And we're waiting for that. What did you take from that? And from a writer's perspective, because people often tell me, Reese, you got to write a book. Reese, you got to write a book. I'm no book writer. I'm a radio guy.
Right.
That's who I am. But from a writer's perspective, if I can sort of tweak your interest or sort of get what you would think about that from what you've read, and you can use from what you've read, what do you think?
Well, I think it's an excellent way to help other people,
mm-hmm.
to really instruct the public and make them aware of what this situation is now with the American legal system. You know, because when you get into this idea of the district attorney's office or the state's attorney's office, as they call it in some states,
mm-hmm.
this is a very political situation.
Yeah,
because
the
marching orders come from the top. The district attorney says, we're going to prosecute this case or we're not going to prosecute it. And the people that are actually there in the courtroom, they're under marching orders.
Yeah, it was something that I realized about the district attorney's office anywhere that, you know, it's never really about justice or the justice system. This is about, you know, their role is to prosecute and convict. It's,
right.
They've shown no due diligence and to seek the truth to find the truth and to get to it in order to speak justice.
Look at this Roger Clemens trial that's going on right now.
Right.
Why are we spending all of that taxpayer money on the charge of lying to Congress, you know, on acts that happened 14 years ago?
Well, I think it's to really, really make a spectacle of Roger Clemens.
Right. They want to teach him a lesson. He got somebody really aggravated, and they're about to teach him a lesson, make an example out of him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as they tried to do with Barry Bonds, which, you know, they pursued like crazy. I've got a problem with cheating in any sport, but you're absolutely right on the aspect of taking this guy to court, you know, Roger Clemens for that matter, and spending all of his taxpayer money.
This is not for steroids. This is for lying to Congress.
Right, exactly. And of course, they're making a spectacle, and the press can't stop eating it up. That I find very troubling. Last question, and we'll let you go, about the press part, about the press point. Justin Smith did not want to get the press involved because
it's not that he didn't want. He had no choice in the matter.
Okay,
as it worked out, there was absolutely no coverage on this.
Right.
Okay, and as it turned out, that proved to be an advantage because, you know, this lady, she was on the stand, and she had ice water in her veins.
Wow.
And she had jumped out of that car. He did not push her out of that car because it was physically impossible to maintain control of a vehicle and push. She weighed 185 pounds. To push 185 pounds of dead weight off of a passenger seat, you know, they had expert witnesses and everything, but the point of it was that she showed up and she had been injured. She had road burns and she had a lot of physical injuries. So, people would just look at her and say, well, yeah.
He is so lucky that she did not expire pulling a stunt like that. Because I've heard stories of people falling out of cars, hitting their head on that pavement, on
that's
the asphalt
right.
for that matter, and, you know, just expiring on the spot. Imagine if that had happened, the turn of events that,
well,
you know.
Well, another thing, too, is that you look at the system. When you get into that prison or jail system,
absolutely.
It is all geared to force you to plead guilty.
Yeah. Take any sort of plea, any sort of deal to get out. Look, I experienced it. I mean, I went 13 months in, and they offered me time served. And, you know, like, he can be home by Christmas, they told me.
You'll have a felony conviction.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just take it, man. Take it on the chin. You don't want to be in that jail. Just go home. And I'll be honest with you. I thought about it for a long time. I had a lot of people talk me out of it because I was so worried about being. I just thought I was going to be there forever.
Because you want that immediate gratification, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You just want to get out. That's just like the kid, the 16-year-old football player. I mean, he took the deal. Because he thought, oh, here's the jury's going to see this big black kid, and I'm immediately convicted. And you see this what seems to be innocent female. I've seen women personally, I've seen women pinch their eye, pinch the bottom lid of their eye and twist it to put themselves in pain just to say that their boyfriend punched him in the eye and gave him a black eye.
That's
just
insane.
to get attention from people and people to be like, oh my God, what happened to you? And so on and so on. I've seen women and I have had to cut those people as soon as you see it, it's like, oh my God, what's wrong with
you? Yeah, we're out of here.
She's crazy. I'm out of here because if she's doing this to him, what is she going to do? You know, what could she possibly do to me? That was like, okay, red flag, see ya, I don't want you in my life.
And another disturbing thing is the enabling by the mothers.
Yes, that is, that's a key part. A key part about this is the enabling. I want to thank Mr. John Greenberg. I appreciate your time and thank you.
Listen, thank you ever so much for having me. I really am a very appreciative of it.
Oh, no. It's been, for me, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and the timing was absolutely brilliant. John Greenberg, critically acclaimed author of Stop and Think. She Could Send You to Prison. You got to go pick it up. Promise me that you will go out there and grab this book and pick it up, because I've got to read it. I can't wait to read it. I still haven't finished Killing Lincoln. I promise you I'm going to finish the book before I finish Killing Lincoln. So I'm putting your book on the top of the order.
Well, promise you thank you very much.
Where can we find you? Is there a place we can find you online? Anybody can look you up?
I got my johngreenberg.com website is about ready to be launched, but for the moment they can get me at greenbergjohn, one word, G-R-E-E-N-B-U-R-G, john, at yahoo.com.
Okay. All right. We'll keep in touch. And please, John, if you know something else is coming out, please feel free to contact us. I love everything you write about because it's all interesting.
Well,
it's everywhere. You're
That's
everywhere.
High praise, and I'm definitely going to keep you in the loop and keep you apprised.
Thank you again, and I appreciate your time. Mr.
Thank
John Greenberg, you've got to check out his book, critically acclaimed author of Stop and Think, She'll Send You to Prison. It's probably, I think every young person in the hood should read this book.
I think every person anywhere should read. So we all become fans of and addicts of like reality TV, right?
Yeah, right.
So this is reality reading.
Yeah.
So, you know, expend the energy, because it's so much easier to watch TV, expend the energy to pick up a book and read it and read something that is that is not a fiction book. So that we can all be aware of things that are going on in the world and that could be going on right in your own surroundings.
Where are you going with this? I'm teasing you. I'm just teasing.
You made sense.
I was teasing.
Ha, ha,
I'm teasing.
Everybody, Reese made a funny.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's Reese on the radio. Thanks again, John Greenberg. We appreciate it.
To do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos.
She Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number two, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, updated her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the seventh inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. 5 minutes till the top of the hour.
5 minutes till the end of the show.
JC said that he did have some therapy to come in, but he says we don't have any we don't have any time.
Yeah, we don't have enough time.
But, why not?
That was a very awesome interview.
That was great.
It's been an awesome show.
I think it was part of because I, you know, we got that good news from MRC TV. I got to thank those guys. I also got to thank our good friend Bob Parks out in Massachusetts, who I got to give him credit, man. I thought that he was shying away from me for a little while because he didn't want to. A lot of people didn't want to touch the case, but you know what? It's
a hard case to really. It is a hard thing, but. For those, you know, you have to do the right thing.
Right. I think that a lot of people
did. And it's so easy to do the wrong thing at times, and so much, you know, so much harder to do the right thing because you don't want to be involved in that. You don't want, you know, you have to save your own reputation, but. Society, we as human beings should be willing to put, I mean, you know, we have guys fighting over in Afghanistan putting their lives at the forefront for our freedom.
Yeah.
So why can't we do that in cases like this, in cases like yours, or, you know, in cases like what Mr. Greenberg has been writing about? We should, as in human nature, be able to say, you know what, I'm going to stand up because I'm fit. Are you saying, am I being a bleeding heart again?
Yeah, you are.
Well, just know that my heart is bleeding all the time, God forbid. But, you know, I mean.
It is who you are, Mary.
Yeah, it is who you are. And, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. That's one of the awesome things about you because you can be a tough cookie. You can be as gentle as a lamb,
mm-hmm.
but you aren't the one to screw with.
Well, since
but what?
But you're
not the one to screw with.
Let me. Can I read a couple of comments to the to Bob Parks' webpage who put it up? He actually
yes,
got six. This one says, "Oh, now everyone knows that the children don't lie. Just ask the prosecutors who advance their political careers on the bodies of men." And a few women against whom there was no actual evidence they had committed the crimes for which they were prosecuted, and of which prosecutions any honest and rational person would have thrown or laughed out of court due to the testimony of the prosecution's key witness. That was one. Another person writes, rape allegations are just a subset of the domestic abuse allegations which fuel a large cottage industry funded by the federal government and create an overwhelming moral hazard for victims and their persecutors or prosecutors. This will end when the law of Moses is followed. If a man has made a false allegation against a fellow Israelite, he has to receive the punishment the accused man would have received. In this way, you will get rid of this evil. Mr. Hopkins was ensnared in the corrupt New York courts of the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, New York Police. He bravely resisted the lure of their deal, which enriched them, but would devastate Mr. Hopkins. The moral hazard is the result of government funding of this of this evil. Wow. Reese's story doesn't fit the media's narrative, so it's dumped. Absolutely infuriating. Any media willing to talk about it before he was acquitted should talk about his innocence and unfair persecution afterwards. It should end there. Either any woman who falsely accuses a man of rape should be exposed to the same media condemnation. Reese has every right to be righteously indignant. The more I think about this, the more ticked off I get. People need to talk about this. And lastly, all the Tawana Brawleys and Anita Hills that leave their victims in the wake of emotional discord and financial hardship should at least be required to pay for their victims' lawyers and lost time.
That I agree with. Amen.
Yeah. The last one by the machine says most of them ain't got nothing to take. What we need is a law that provides this prosecution and imprisonment. That provides for prosecution and imprisonment. That's our show for today, folks, and we appreciate you taking the time out. Thank you guys at MRC TV. Rob,
before we go, I just had a quick thought.
Go ahead.
I think that in cases like this, especially in rape cases where there's a question and there's no physical evidence, that the victim didn't go and get any kind of medical treatment immediately following to where they could have potentially a rape kit or some kind of physical evidence against them, I think they should be forced to get an insurance prior to charging the individual to pay that individual, man or woman, for that lost time and attorney's fees. And that way, if they're right, then of course, then they don't have to continue to pay the insurance. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying. But we gotta go. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
I know, we're out of here for what, a week?
We won't see you guys
yeah, we're
tomorrow.
Out for a week. That's right, we won't see you tomorrow. We won't see you for a week. So we'll be back.
And that's
unless
me and Mary and James get itchy.
Yeah,
that's
I
right.
Hope.
And everybody have a wonderful, safe
Memorial Day
weekend.
Bye-bye, and in Connecticut, you can buy liquor on Sundays.
Oh, get out of here.
You can in VA, too.
Bye-bye,
and weed is legal.
Oh, no, it's not. I love you guys.
It's about you.
Wish me luck next week.